I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. You can overcome. The scripture said those that are born of God, they are overcomers. And the greater one is inside of us is greater than anything that could come against us. Anything coming against you, you are able to overcome what came against you. If you look to God and listen to Him, if you just give up and quit, well, you'll be defeated. And that's the easy thing to do, is to not even try. And sometimes people do it because they're only listening to the bad reports, and they're not getting fed anything that's going to put any strength into them. And so it's just despondency is what they deal with every day. But you don't have to live that way. That's why we say, my spirit's being fed. My faith's getting stronger, not weaker, not staying the same. And I'm learning how. There are things to learn. You got to learn what to listen to and what not to listen to. You got to learn what to look at and what not to look at. You got to learn what to say and what not to say, what to do and what not to do. There are choices in life that matter. Words matter. That's why we start off the class with words. We're saying it. We're not going to take this time and accomplish nothing. I mean, from the very start, it's happening.
Amen.
We're saying it. My spirit's being fed,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because we're not just going to spend the time talking about my thoughts and imaginations. We're going to open this book.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
We're going to talk about His words.
Yes.
And if I do that sincerely and you listen to it and receive sincerely, something's going to happen.
Amen.
Strength will come into you. Your spirit will be fed. Your faith will be fed. And we are learning how to be overcomers. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody say, victory is mine.
Victory is mine.
I am an overcomer.
I am an overcomer.
Father, all of us approach You today thanking You for these great, great truths, the realities of You in us and Your greatness and Your strength and power. You said that You give strength and power to the faint and to them that have no might. You increase strength. So You are to us the giver of strength. Thank You for it. Quicken us, lead us into what we need to see and hear today, and we purpose to be doers of it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Look, please, in Psalm 23 again. We've been in our series that we're calling Faith for Provision. Faith comes by hearing, and so what we're doing is taking one by one 30 different truths from the Bible that prove, any one of them, to me, proves conclusively that it's always God's will for us to have abundant provision, for His people to have abundant provision. Now, I know that not everybody believes that, and you'll have people that even teach and preach that God uses bad things, including lack and struggle, to teach you and develop you. Well, there'll be plenty of struggles of different kinds without going hungry. Yeah, and plenty of opportunities to use your faith. And so, no, I know that sometimes people are trying to explain what they don't understand, but don't just go by some saying you saw on a church sign one time.
Okay.
Or by something you heard a preacher say. Is it the Word?
Yes.
Is it what God said? And so that's why I'm saying the reasons why we are confident, why we're convinced, it's always God's will for us to have abundant provision is because, number one, He's my good shepherd. Number two, He's a good God. Anybody believe He's a good God?
Yes.
The goodness of God and abundant provision is good. And the fatherhood of God. Is He a good father?
Yes.
And the creation of God. God did not make a world of lack and deficiency. That came after sin and curse. It was lack, disease, death, not a part of God's original creation. If He'd have wanted it that way, He'd have made it that way to start with.
Right.
He didn't make it that way. He made beautiful, perfect abundance. You know, the world before sin, no storms, none, never too hot, never too cold, never too dry, never too wet. See, the world we live in today is fallen, is cursed because of man's sin and disobedience. And yet, even in its fallen condition, you see remnants of its beauty.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
What must it have been like before the fall? We're going to find out. I said, we're going to find out because in the future, God's creating new heaven and new earth wherein is no curse. And there won't be any death, any sorrow, any crying or dying or tears. None of that. None of that. So if you can just make it a little while longer, we're out of here and on to the next wonderfully great thing. But down here, in walking with God, what are we to believe concerning provision? Can we believe God for provision? Can we expect to have abundance? Or should we resign ourselves to lack? You know, a lot of times people say things, well, you know, sometimes it's God's, you know, will for us to be poor. Well, is it or not? If it is, quit playing with it and get poor. Huh? See, people talk a talk, but they don't walk the walk. You say, well, I believe you should be poor sometime. Well, you can have your belief. I don't believe that. I'm going to practice what I believe. Huh? But if I thought that it really pleased God for me to be poor, I should get destitute. Is that right? I want to please God, but I don't believe that. Because I don't see that in His Word. And I don't see that that's the God that the patriarchs knew. That's what we're talking about today. And God never changes. So we're down to number six, like we said, God's covenant with Abraham. And for time's sake, let's just go straight to Genesis now. Genesis 12 is where we saw that God spoke to Abram in the beginning of his walk with Him and told him to leave his country and kinfolks and his father's house, and He would show him where to go, and where He introduced him to the blessing. In verse 2, He said, and, in other words, you do what I tell you to do, and I will make of you a great nation, not a tiny, but big, and I will bless you. I will bless you and make your name not mud. Great. Right?
Yes.
And you shall be a blessing.
Yes.
Now this is God's plan. He's never changed. He's never going to change. He's a good God.
Amen.
Blessing is good things.
Yes.
And every good thing He gives you is not supposed to stop with you.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? Because you'll find one of the greatest joys is, yeah, it's wonderful to be blessed, but above that is being a blessing.
Yes,
hallelujah. That, you know, that's what the master said. He said, you know, that it's more blessed to give even than to receive. Well, you got to receive or you wouldn't have anything to give. He didn't say it wasn't blessed. You're blessed in your receiving, but you're an even another level of blessing. More blessed when not only are your needs met, but you are able, hallelujah, to be an answer to prayer, to be used of God, to alleviate, take something, a pressure or a burden off of somebody, or to be a part of somebody's vision and dream coming to pass. Huh? This is fun. This is joy, isn't it? Well, you got to have resources to be in that kind of position. And so that's what he said. He said, I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Well, in the 13th chapter, we see that shortly after this, Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And the Bible said in verse 5, Lot, who went with Abram, he had flocks and herds and tents. I like the plural on these.
Yes.
Don't you?
Yes,
not a cow. not a camel. He had cows. Camels. Is that right?
Yes.
Not a flock. A flock is a number. No, he had flocks.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
No, he had multiple flocks, multiple herds. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Multiple tents. If you'd come over a hill and saw in the valley where they were camped, you would say, well, what tribe is that? And goes, no, that's just Lot stuff. Right? Multiple tents. And there's another tribe. No, it's Abraham. Yes, Abraham's stuff. In fact, it goes on to say that their stuff was so great, their substance was so great, that the land wasn't able to bear them, that they might dwell together. Their substance was so great, verse 6, they could not dwell together. And that's when the strife began to happen between the herdsmen, and you see something else about a godly person. Abraham said, we are not having this. There will be no strife in my camp. And how do you stop strife? Well, you got to be a giver. Are y'all listening? Not just a fighter, not just demanding what's mine. Can you see this? And you see, the reason why people get haughty and they get mad and they get, you know, they're going to fight is fear. Fear. I'm going to lose something. I'm going to come up short. We're going to do with that. And see, that's what we're talking about. If you're full of faith that God always wants you to have abundant provision, and you're looking to God as your source, you get set free from the fear of running out.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
And that makes you easy to get along with. Because instead of trying to sue everybody.
Yep.
Are you listening?
Yeah.
Trying to sue everybody. Trying to shut down. Oh, he's going to get mine. Oh, he's going to get mine. Oh, I got to stop it. I got to do something. I can't be a doormat. The just shall live by
faith.
Not fear. God didn't give us a spirit of fear. Faith. And look what Abraham did. Look how magnanimous he was. How big-hearted. How generous he was. If you hadn't read it, take the time to read it sometime, but I'll narrate it. He came to Lot and he said, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. He said, our herdsmen have been getting into it over here. Well, there ain't enough pasture. Well, there ain't enough water. Well, the problem was we got too many cows. We got thousands and thousands of head of livestock. And so Abraham said, look, we're brethren. We're family. I'm not having strife. You tell me what you want. Now, he's the elder. Would Lot have even had a cow if he hadn't been with Abram? And yet, you see who's got the faith, right? And you see why he's so blessed. He said, look, you want to go to the left? I'll go to the right. You want to go north? I'll go south. We need to give each other some space here. And so, now think about this, though. Why are they needing more land? The blessing. The blessing has multiplied their herds and their flocks until these thousands of acres ain't enough anymore. There's a theme. You keep hearing this. Like this. Bring all your tithes into the storehouse. Then what? I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out blessing on you until there's not enough room, until you run out of room. Huh? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. And that's not the end. Running over. Wouldn't God know how many cows per acre are sustainable? Wouldn't he know? Would he know?
Yes.
Yeah, but that's your problem. You said you wanted to be blessed. You want to walk with God. This is what you get. Is that right?
Yes.
You get too many cows. Too many goats. Too many sheep. Too many camels. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Overflow. Oh, is that God? Has he always been that way? When did he change? When did he change from then to the new covenant? When did we, you know, the Bible tells us we got a new and better covenant, right?
Yes.
Well, in a better covenant, you don't lose stuff.
True.
You know, if I held up two bills and I said, I got a $50 bill here, I got a $100 bill here. Which one's better? It's not a hard question. Why? The 100. Tell me why. Why? It's got the 50, right? It's got the 50 plus. In this case, it's got a whole other 50. Why is our covenant better? We didn't lose any good thing by the coming of Jesus. No, we didn't. We didn't lose any good thing that the patriarchs enjoyed by their covenant and walk with God. They had protection. They had healing. They had provision. They had increase. Didn't they?
Yes.
Did we lose any of that?
No.
By the coming of Jesus, do we have to forfeit any of that?
No.
We got all of that.
Yes.
Plus, we got the living Spirit of God right on the inside of us, 24/7. We're not just the servants of God, we're the sons of God. Names written in the law. We didn't lose anything, we just gained. Gained. So when he says that they had, you know, too many livestock, too many flocks, he said, you take whatever you want. And sadly, Lot didn't show respect, and he chose the best watered place. And Abraham said, fine. Come on, are y'all listening to this? Fine? Is this right? No, really, it's not right. Lot shouldn't have done this. It's not fair to Abraham. It's not right. But is Abraham bothered by that?
No.
Why? Why? Because he's got faith.
Yes.
He's blessed.
Yes.
He knows what brought him to nothing to where he is now. And he knows that same blessing and that same God will keep him. No matter what anybody else does. But notice how serious he's considered strife to be. He is willing to make great sacrifices to stop the strife. Strife, brother, sister, is the manifest presence of the devil's activity. When you got strife, James says you got every evil work. Isn't that what he said?
Yes.
You can tell it's evil. When God is manifested, when the presence of God is manifested, it's not strife, it's peace.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's peace. It's joy. It's life. It's light. when strife is manifested, people are fighting, yelling, screaming, cussing each other, trying to hurt each other. That is the devil manifesting himself. And how many think you need to be like Abraham? I'm not having the devil manifest in my camp and in my stuff and with my herds. If we have to get rid of some cows, we get rid of some cows. If we have to leave, go to another place, if we have to sacrifice, we will do whatever is necessary. And you know, right after Lot chose the best and Abraham is out on some more arid places, the Lord told him, immediately, he said, come here. He said, look north, look south, look here. He said, I'm giving this all to you. Did he lose anything by walking in love? Did he lose anything by trusting? No, he said, I'm going to give you the whole thing. You ain't lost anything here. But it takes faith to do that, doesn't it? When it looks like you're losing stuff, you're losing big time. This is going to cost you. Yeah, but when you know in whom you have believed, you are convinced, you are fully persuaded that he's able to keep you and everything that you've committed to him. Somebody say, I have the same God. I have the same God. Oh, hallelujah. Now notice what happened. As soon as Lot did this, his life started going down. As soon as he unhooked from Abraham, if he had had any spiritual awareness, he would have realized, I wouldn't have any cows if it wasn't for Uncle. Right? For one thing, see, his dad had died in the other country. And Abraham and Sarah took him with them. Took him in as family. And so how many understand that when your elder, somebody that's been a father to you, somebody that's their covenant with God that's benefiting you, comes and says, no, take what you want. What do you say? No, sir. No, sir. No, ma'am. He needed to say what Ruth said, right, to Naomi, to her mother-in-law. Where you going? I'm going. Is that right? No. We will have a cow sale. Right? No. No, sir. Uncle, you tell me what you want, what we have to do to stay together. I'll help take care of your stuff. Yes. Now you might say, well, that would have been him going downhill. No, in a few months, his wife's going to be dead. Everything he's got lost because he wound up over in Sodom and Gomorrah. Come on, you hear? Yes. No, that's loss. Yes. When you break loose from what God joins you to. When you don't respect what God used to bless you, that's when you can lose everything. And he did. He lost everything. He didn't realize it, but it was the worst mistake of his life that day that he looked around and saw the well-watered valley and said, okay, I'll take the best. You can have the rest. That was his downfall from then on. But what happened? He first started pitching his tent towards Sodom and just watching them from a distance. Next thing you know, he's there. Moved in there with the middle of them. And Sodom and Gomorrah were evil places. Man, they were bad. Well, they wound up getting destroyed, judged by God. But before that, there were wars broke out. And kings, five kings against four kings, were fighting in that area. And they came through Sodom where Lot had moved in and his wife, and they took everything. They took Lot and all his family, his wife and his daughters and sons-in-laws, and took all their stuff and cattle, took them away, captives. Going to sell them for slaves, I guess, whatever, or kill them. And Abram sought God. You remember, have you read this? And got confidence that he could go get them back. We're talking about multiple kings with their armies. And he and his neighbors, a few hundred servants that are not professional soldiers. But you know what they got?
Faith.
Faith and the blessing. Woo! The other guys might have had chariots and spears and experience, but that's no match for the blessing. And man, they rolled up on those guys, caught them off guard, and they took them out. I mean, their little army of a few hundred, they took out the whole thing, and they got back Lot, they got back his family, and all their stuff, and all the other stuff that they had captured. See, the victory. Hallelujah. And the blessing. But I want you to notice something that's a giant part of this. In the 15th chapter, I guess it is. Well, no, but first of all, the 14th. The 14th chapter, 14:16, he brought back all the goods and brought his brother Lot and his goods. Notice they don't call them bads. And the women also, and the people. This is miraculous, because a lot of times in those days, they'd have killed a bunch of them already, you know, and or hurt them in different ways. But no, they're all there. They're all sound and whole. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Kedorlaomer and the kings that were with him at the valley of Shava, which is the king's dale. Now, they've been defeated. Him and his armies were defeated. That's why they took all the people and stuff away. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine and was the priest of the Most High God. And he did what?
Blessed him.
And said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which have delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Abraham tithed. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to yourself. Abram said to the king of Sodom, I've lift up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe latchet, we'd say a shoelace. I won't take anything that is yours, lest you say, I have made Abraham rich. Because tell me, what made Abraham rich? It was the blessing. Oh, come on, can you see this? And this was much more important to him than the stuff. He's not a self-made man. He's not a king-made man. He's a God-made man. Hallelujah. He's a blessing-made man. The blessing made him rich. You know, it's not just what you got. It's how you got it is much more important than the other thing. Is God the same today?
Yes.
Does he still want this kind of witness today?
Yes.
Said out loud, the blessing of Abraham.
The blessing of Abraham.
That blessing made him rich.
That blessing made him rich.
That blessing makes me rich.
That blessing makes me rich.
To God's glory.
To God's glory.
Hallelujah. 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 Well, our time's up again. Come back tomorrow. We're going to see some more about this, because God wants a witness in your life of his goodness too.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.